Now, the state legislature's budget committee passed a plan last week that would cut public transit funding in Madison and Milwaukee by 50% over the next 2 years. Republicans said they voted for the funding cuts since the state's receiving millions of dollars in federal coronavirus aid. All Democrats on the committee voted against the funding cuts. The ACLU says the funding cut discriminates against those who are unable to afford cars or unable to drive. We're looking at public transit in Wisconsin, and not just in the state's two biggest cities. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the cut to public transit funding proposed in Madison and Milwaukee? Do you use public transportation of some sort in your community, big or small? Do you feel like you need more of it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rob Henken is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He's co-author of the group's recent report on public transit called The Wheels on the Bus. Rob, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Can you talk about the impact, if it ends up in the final budget, of these funding cuts for public transit in Madison, Milwaukee?
So that sounds like an easy question where I could just, you know, give you a dollar amount and describe the impact. The reason it's not an easy question, and one of the rationales for the cut, of course, is because there are these federal dollars, most recently under the American Rescue Plan Act, that have given both of these transit systems just a huge influx of aid at a time that they badly need it. These dollars can be used through September of 2024. So one of the reasons this is a difficult question to answer is you'd sort of need to know the plan for allocating those dollars over the next few years. You'd have to prognosticate what's going to happen with ridership over these couple of years. Critical to recognize that one of the reasons that the federal government saw fit to give such a significant amount of aid to transit systems is that ridership has declined. As the economy has declined, as people have stayed home, et cetera, there are fewer people using mass transit. But there's also a desire not to have these transit systems cut their routes. So that's where the federal money comes into play. So it's a huge mix of ridership revenue, federal revenue, state revenue. Clearly, these state cuts would hurt. Whether they would hurt immediately is doubtful, again, because of the availability of these federal dollars. But for both the Madison transit system and the Milwaukee transit system, there are some deep structural problems. And so clearly, cuts of these magnitude of, you know, close to $40 million in each of the next 2 years for the Milwaukee County transit system, and a smaller amount for Madison, about 30%, however, of its budget is state revenue. These cuts are going to hurt, if not next year, then certainly potentially in the years to come.
Can you talk about the role public transit can play in a local economy, whether it's those bigger systems in the bigger cities or some of the things we see in smaller or mid-sized communities?
Well, transit plays a vital role, and you know, it depends on local economies. It depends on a lot of different factors, but clearly there's a sizable portion of the population that depends on mass transit, if not to get to work every day, perhaps for people who are not working to get to doctor's appointments or to the grocery store. So it plays a role. You know, it's the irony is that when the economy is going well, transit ridership tends to drop, because greater numbers of individuals may be able to afford to purchase automobiles, and so they stop taking the bus. We're not there yet. Our economy is clearly recovering, but I think it's still very early to tell exactly what the impacts are. You know, we both have the factor of what's going on with the economy and how many people have reentered the workforce. We also have these huge societal changes in terms of the way people are working. You know, so many more working from home. So there's all sorts of factors out there, but I don't think there's any question that to the extent that as a result of cuts in state funding, major transit systems or really any transit systems across the state would have to cut service, that can not only reverberate in terms of people's quality of life, but also in terms of our economy and the ability of people to seek and to gain access to employment.
Talking to Rob Henken, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, looking at public transportation in Wisconsin and funding for public transportation. a state legislative proposal would cut funding in Madison and Milwaukee, in part because there's a lot of federal money coming in to help those systems deal with the COVID emergency. You could join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Do you want public transportation funding to be a priority at the state level in your local community? Do you rely on public transportation yourself? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Rob, I mentioned that report that you and your colleagues did, Wheels on the Bus. You looked at six communities around the state to look at the COVID impact, Milwaukee and Madison, as well as Appleton, Janesville, Wausau, Stevens Point as well. What kind of things did you find, apart from the basic obvious point, less ridership?
Yeah, so one of the things that we did was we actually looked at what was going on pre-pandemic. And what we found, quite frankly, was pretty alarming. I think generally across the board for these transit systems, and we essentially use these six, which are a mix of small, medium-sized, and large transit systems, we were seeing declining ridership in most of them. And so, you know, that's why is that a problem? Well, it's a problem because each of these systems is reliant to some extent on ridership revenue. Now, your listeners may be thinking, well, okay, if not as many people are riding, then why not just cut service? And that can be a very difficult situation. Might there be an ability to cut some service? Yes. But at the same time, number one, if the decline in ridership is due to economic factors, we all know the economy is cyclical. And once you lose service, it's tough to get it back. And it's tough to really get it back in time to react to any economic change. The other thing is that by cutting service, are you simply entering this awful cycle where that's going to then result in a further decline in ridership, which is going to mean a further decline in passenger revenue. So assuming that these systems still want to keep service levels the same and passenger revenue is declining, then what are the options? Well, we have seen that state aids, which are very important to transit systems, have essentially been flat. That's been the same pre-pandemic with regard to federal. So increasingly, what we are seeing is local communities having to come up with greater local shares for transit budgets. And that itself has caused some issues given all of the restrictions on the ability of local governments in Wisconsin to generate revenues. To the extent that they need to come up with more for transit, it may mean that they have to make cuts elsewhere.
That was pre-pandemic. How much did the pandemic then shake up that funding model?
So, you know, without question, we saw transit ridership plummet across the board far more than it had been trending prior. That, of course, was, during the height of the pandemic when we had the safer at home restrictions and people weren't leaving their homes. As the economy started to rebound and things started to open up, we saw some of the transit ridership rebound. But as of the time we wrote the report, most systems still were not even close to where they were pre-pandemic. Now, again, ordinarily, that would have been a huge problem. Here's where the influx of the federal dollars, first through the CARES Act, which was one of the first major pieces of federal legislation passed back in the spring of 2020, that provided enough money to virtually all transit systems across the state to be able to make up for that loss of passenger revenue and not have to reduce service. In addition, for many systems, Madison and Milwaukee included, there were sufficient dollars to actually roll some of those over to 2021 to help ease the impact of the fact that ridership still hadn't declined that year. We've then had two subsequent pieces of federal legislation that, depending on the size of the transit system, have again resulted in really big influxes of federal dollars. So for now, as we look just over the short term budgetarily, these transit systems are doing fine. The question is, how quickly are they going to spend down those federal dollars? And when those federal dollars are exhausted, what will the ridership picture look like? Will there still be a revenue gap there? And what will be the ability of their local government to continue that commitment of potentially increasing local dollars to support the existing routes?
We're talking about public transportation funding in the state with Rob Henken, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of public transportation do you have in your community? Do you use it? Do you wish there was more of it? Or do you not see it as a top priority for state or federal or local funding? Call in at 800-642-1234. And does the availability of options to riding cars, whatever those might be, make a place more attractive for you when you're deciding where to live? 800-642-1234 is the number, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk now with Wisconsin Policy Forum President Rob Henken about cuts to public transit funding in Madison, Milwaukee, proposed by the state legislature, and the outlook for public transportation in communities around the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you have in your community when it comes to public transit? What do you think you need? Have you relied on public transportation either recently or in the past? Or do you think it's a lower priority? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's bring on a caller now. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Well, I think the my grandfather worked in the railroad, and I think one of the things about railroad transportation in northern Wisconsin anyway is you really have to be patient and build for the future. In Superior, we're building a hotel downtown, and the time's coming when we'll get light rail transit between Duluth, Superior, and the Twin Cities for commuters who want to travel that way. And I think it's part of our long-term plan to bring back that kind of train transportation. My ancestors had it throughout northern Wisconsin, from Spooner to Chippewa Falls and across to Green Bay. But, of course, that's gone. But it would be nice to have that federal funding and restore that type of transportation, in my opinion.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. And, Rob, we've been mostly talking about within a community or metropolitan area. Jeff's saying, hey, maybe some light rail to connect to a region, not just one local community.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we have had big political fights about rail, certainly in southeast Wisconsin, going back 30 years now, but obviously a decade ago had a big political discussion about potentially having rail service between Milwaukee and Madison, and a higher speed type of service. You know, I mean, I think that's one of the areas where, you know, transit funding and sort of thinking about the future have often been at conflict. We have seen during, you know, various good times and bad, different efforts to try to say that, you know, transit just isn't important and people would prefer to drive. And again, when the economy is going strong and more people are purchasing automobiles, sometimes we do see that declining transit ridership and people ask the question, well, why, you know, why shouldn't we be cutting state support, for example, to transit systems? Why should we be thinking about spending all sorts of capital dollars to bring back rail, et cetera? And so there are a couple of issues there. Number one, again, as I said earlier, things tend to be cyclical. And there is a portion of the population that does rely on transit, not just people who can't afford automobiles, but people who for a variety of reasons can't drive. And so, you know, there's sort of a rationale there. We have also found, you know, repeated surveys have been done showing that when if talent attraction and retention, particularly of young talent, is a priority in metro areas, then having good transportation is very important to that. And younger people do tend to value transit options, and in particular, high quality transit options, which are sometimes only achievable by a rail. And so that can be a means of attracting and retaining talent. So there's all sorts of factors there. Unfortunately, this does require long-term planning. It requires long-term funding commitments. And that's just a step we haven't really been able to take across Wisconsin for many, many decades.
Let's go back to our callers now. David is with us in Ironwood. David, hi.
Yeah, I heard Kansas City went free transit and it increased the people going downtown. I mean, who would want to go downtown trying to find a place to park and stuff? But if you get on a bus, go down free and spend your money, I mean, and global warming, we want the people get off cars off the road. I think maybe more cities should try that.
David, thanks for the call. I don't know about those Kansas City numbers, Rob, but that idea of making transit easier and even free, as David is pointing out, what do you think?
Well, actually, that's something that several transit systems across the country have experimented with in the wake of the pandemic and with the availability of these federal dollars to fill in for the ridership revenue that would be forsaken. And I think it's a very interesting experiment. End of the day, it would require a greater public subsidy in virtually all instances if that was to be something that would be a long-term situation. You know, the HOP, the new streetcar system, relatively new now streetcar system in Milwaukee has been free since its inception. And, you know, oftentimes it can be a great way to incentivize people to try transit. And then even when you do either reinstall or install some type of fares, you can still get folks to continue to ride it. And it's sort of a win-win situation. So I think it's an interesting experiment. I think it's one that, again, potentially is now more realistic than it's ever been, at least for the next year or two for some transit systems because of the availability of this federal money. But I do think that doing it over the long term would require a greater commitment of public dollars. And again, you know, we as an organization don't opine on issues like that. But clearly there are some who would, you know, be not real open to the idea of actually having to completely have public dollars support the what once was a farebox revenue share of mass transit.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Rob Henkin with the Wisconsin Policy Forum, looking at public transportation in Wisconsin and funding for it. Some cuts on the way, at least in a legislative plan for Madison, Milwaukee. Cuts may be made up for by federal funding from various coronavirus relief packages. Rob, you mentioned making a place attractive for younger workers. And I know there's this new report out on trying to lure millennials to Milwaukee in particular. That's the topic of conversation, by the way, tomorrow morning at 7 on the morning show. Can you talk a little more about that angle of things, trying to bring those workers, maybe especially those younger workers, into a community with the lure of high quality, you mentioned, mass transit?
So, you know, it's a great question. And clearly, anecdotally, I mean, we ourselves did a survey of millennials 5-6 years ago. And clearly, that's one of the things you find when you survey is that, you know, good transportation, and in particular, good transportation options that don't involve, you know, having to own and operate a vehicle for oneself is seen to be of value. That said, then you get into the question, well, what is quality transportation? Are we talking about, well, sure, millennials will ride trains, but for whatever reason, they won't ride buses? Or does the mode not matter? What matters is the frequency with which the bus or train comes, that's referred to as headways, or the speed at which it can get one to its destination. Now, interestingly, despite this move so far by the legislature to cut state funding for Madison and Milwaukee, those are two transit systems that are looking at some big upgrades in the quality of transit. The Milwaukee County just broke ground a couple of weeks ago on a bus rapid transit system. Madison has plans for BRT in the works. That would be a higher quality of bus service that would be faster, that would be sleeker, that would have more conveniences. And so, you know, as with so many different types of economic development investments, it's difficult to know for sure. But if one believes the surveys, this is something that is valued. Again, the key question is, how do you translate that value into a return on investment? Because, again, making these investments in high quality transit does require some pretty sizable capital outlays.
And very briefly, we're talking mostly big cities. Your report also touches on the Bay Area in Ashland, Bayfield, Iron, and Price counties. There are various public transportation alternatives on a smaller scale in lots of non-big city communities, right?
Absolutely. And again, that's where we're talking about, you know, Maybe the key goal there isn't attracting millennials, but it's making sure that seniors have a way who can no longer drive to get to doctor's appointments in the grocery store, et cetera. It's maybe to connect people, to certain employment centers and so forth. So I don't think there's any question. I mean, transit looks different in different parts of the state, but having some type of options available for citizens who, for whatever reason, don't own or operate, single automobiles, is something that is seen to be an essential public service.
Rob, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thanks so much for having me.
That's Rob Henken, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He joined us for a look at public transportation funding here in the state. His group, the Wisconsin Policy Forum, came out with a report on public transportation funding issues a couple of months back called Wheels on the Bus.